Good morning and welcome. I'm Katharina Vitti, and this is Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. Thank you so much for listening today, and we have two great guest speakers today. We have Sister Ave Clark, who's a Dominican sister, and Pat Lannan, who's a parishioner of St. Catherine's Church in Franklin Square. And I'm so excited to be here with you two and with you listeners today, because we're just going to be talking about so many great things. I'm so excited. And if you wanted to call in or text in to be part of the conversation, or if you wanted to reach out to Sister or Pat or myself, our call-in number today is 631-888-8811, and the text-in number is 516-784-6081. And so feel free, if you have any stories that you wanted to mention, how God touched your heart, we're always encouraging, and we welcome you to even come on the show if you wanted to, or share anything that touched you. We'd love to hear that. So today we're gonna, let's just jump into it. We have Sister Ave, who is a Dominican sister, and she's always coming to speak at the Light of Christ prayer group at St. Catherine's and also at other parishes, and she's given many, many talks about other different topics. And we're just so blessed to have you here today. The show could just keep going on and on. I tell our guests all the time, we could have like 2 hours, 3 hours. So we're just so welcome. I know I was mentioning in the car before about Saint Dominic and what a Dominican sister, the motto, and maybe would you be able to just kind of start us off a little bit with that, and what's the difference between maybe a Dominican sister and
I think one of the wonderful things about Saint Dominic is that he was a preacher, and one of our models is, and the preaching continues, and it's continued for over 800 years now. So I'm part of those 800 years, and I've been a sister 55 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's been 55 wonderful years of teaching, being a minister with people with special needs that I learned so much from, and also now in heart-to-heart ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So we all preach in different ways. Some sisters are artists, some sisters are teachers, some are lawyers, and I do spiritual direction and counseling and retreat work.
Oh, beautiful. So you just mentioned about heart-to-heart ministries. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you started that and just a little bit of what that is?
Mm-hmm. I've been doing heart-to-heart ministry now about 25 years, going out every day to different parishes or schools or even to homes where we sit around the table and we have a prayer hour or a prayer afternoon, women's retreats. Heart-to-heart ministry also helps women in domestic violence. We collect things for them, and sometimes I go on a drive with them. And about 5 years ago, I got a call, and it said, "Sister, are you free this evening?" I said, "Yes." They said, "Well, we lost one of the drivers for women in domestic violence, and there'll be five people." And right away, I thought, "Oh, five. Where will I put five in the car?" And then I said to myself, "Don't worry. We'll make room for them." And I drove a few miles, and a few drivers had the five women there. And when I got there, I stopped my car, and there was a circle of women. They were in a circle, and I counted it. Oh, four, good, four will get in the car easily. And as the circle opened up, there was one little woman in the center, and she was pregnant, and she was very young. And when I got to the car, the ladies were laughing, and they all lined up, and they all told me their name was Mary. But I figured it wasn't. They said, "Well, I'm Mary. And the last lady said, "I am Elizabeth." And they all laughed. They get in the car and they said, "Don't worry about the last lady. She's going to lay on our lap in the back seat," which she did. When I drove them into the Bronx and it was time that they would leave, I felt I had known them for more than the 2 hours I was with them. They were singing and praying and laughing. And when they got out of the car, they told me, "You know, we're not Mary. We're not Elizabeth." But they said the first lady had told them the story of Mary and Elizabeth. And they said, "You are like Elizabeth. You came to get all the Marys and get us to safety. And we left you a gift in the car." And I smiled, and I learned to say thank you. I didn't say, "Well, you shouldn't have done it." So when the cars with the ladies were going to take them to another place, and they all went away, I went back to the car. But I had a tear in my eye, not a sadness, of joy, that I had known these courageous women that were taking a journey to safety. When I got in the car, I looked for the gift, and I started to laugh. It was a candy bar wrapper with the word Clark on it, my last name.
Oh, beautiful.
So that's one of my stories about just being with people, even for a short time. We preach with compassion, and sometimes the compassion will be a quiet hand that says, "I care, I'll help you."
Mm-hmm. It's those everyday encounters that we have with people, right? And I know you brought this beautiful book that you wrote this summer, which is incredible. And it's called Arthur. Thank you for being Jesus' love. Can you mention a little bit about that and your inspiration for writing this book?
I'd like to tell you about Arthur because he changed my life. I met Arthur about 14 years ago. I met him one evening at an evening of prayer, and I was giving out my card with my information on it, and he saw my phone number. He said, oh, could I call you? I said, yes. He said, what time will you get home? Oh, I said, I think about 9:45. And he said, I'll call you at 10, which he did. And that would be the beginning of over 12 to 13 years of his calls, sometimes 2, 3, 7, or 8 times a day. And some people would say to me, oh, why did he call you so much? Arthur had schizophrenia. It's a disease of the mind. He did not ask for that. And to me, he lived courageously with it. He never complained, but he would tell me that it would make him feel weary. And I felt that my heart would be a listening heart for Arthur. So when I wrote this book, I thought a lot about Arthur and what he had taught me. He taught me about being God's love, respecting others, accepting other people, being the gentleness of Christ. Never a harsh word was back. So I wrote a poem myself about Arthur called The Beautiful Soul. A stained, wrinkled plaid shirt, shoelaces untied, buttons buttoned wrong, no socks on in the winter. You are a beautiful soul. You give away a new shirt to someone in need. You give thanks for your new shoes, which you said felt heavenly to walk in. You smile at your buttons buttoned wrong. You accept your limitations with such grace. You were in a hurry to get to the retreat and forgot to put your socks on. You are a beautiful soul. The pastor made the coffee for the retreat. Someone said it was way too strong. Arthur smiled and said, I'll put more milk in the pastor's good coffee. Like Jesus, Arthur, you lived and shared the way of goodness. You are a beautiful soul. You see, what made Arthur a beautiful soul was his goodness. And that's really what the book is about. That every time we say thank you, we could say thank you for being Jesus' love. Thank you for being Jesus' forgiveness and joy and understanding and respect. And Arthur respected all people, even those who made fun of him. And one day on the phone, he called me and he told me people made fun of him. I said, all right, Arthur, this is what you do. You talk to the social workers. They'll help you. Maybe they can move your table. And he listened so patiently. And at the end, I said, what did you think of what I said? And he said to me, well, it's rather good what you said, but I'll do something else. Oh, I thought, Arthur, what will you do? And he said, I'll turn the other way.
Oh, that's so funny, right?
Yes. I'll look in a different direction. He would not give back harshness. He gave back kindness. Mm-hmm. It's the cost of discipleship, too, that it's very easy to give back harshness in our world. But Arthur teaches us, and he taught me, always to give that moment where you will give back kindness and goodness and charity.
Thank you. I was just thinking about Thanksgiving is coming up, soon too, and to now is the time to think of all the little good things that God has given us and to be grateful. We see like the trees changing colors and the people in our life who have touched us, and I'm just thinking that that's such a beautiful example of how he was different, but he still, like you said, treated everyone with love, even those who didn't really understand him or, you know, maybe, like you said, mistreated him. That's really inspiring. Do you mind reading a little bit of what you wrote on the back of the book?
Yes. This book is a story about a man named Arthur Morell, who lived courageously with a mental illness. Far more than a story, it is the way Arthur chose to live his life that will offer you challenges inspirations, and opportunities to become more loving, peace-filled, and joyous, form with one another. Arthur's way was one of humility, simplicity, and quiet perseverance. Being a friend to Arthur changed me and transformed my everyday life into moments of grace-filled living. I hope as you read, reflect, and ponder the words of Arthur's life and the parables, you will feel your heart and spirit be uplifted. Perhaps you will even say, Arthur, thank you for being Jesus' love.
Yeah, and I love the title, Thank You for Being Jesus' Love. And that's a reminder for all of us, that to be walking in giving that love to others, the Jesus love. And do you have another story for us about Arthur?
I have a story, and Arthur sent me a card when I was in the hospital after a terrible accident I was in.
Yes.
In 2004, I got up early in the morning I had high heels on, and I carried a TV to a poor school. I put it in the convent where we were to have the 8th grade retreat, and I met the students in church. At the end of church, we came out, and we're walking to the convent, and I overheard some of the boys saying, I can't do it, I just can't do it. And I asked one boy, I saw his name tag, I said, Michael, what can't you do? He said, oh, my mother said some nun is coming today. She's going to make me pray 6 hours. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
I said, Michael, I'm that nun. He said, oh. And I said, but I brought donuts with me. He said, I love the retreat. Well, at the end of that retreat of 6 hours, I had a wonderful retreat with these 14-year-old 8th graders who were going to graduate. They were wonderful. At the end, Michael walks me out to the car, and he says, Sister, get home safe. What a kind word from a 14-year-old boy. And I said to him, thank you, Michael. It was nice meeting you. Thank you for telling me to get home safe. Little did I know that 12 minutes down the road, I would be hit by a 120-ton locomotive that nobody was on that rolled down a hill. And the only way it would stop, it would hit cars along the way, and mine would be one of them. So that afternoon, I arrived in Elmhurst Hospital in the emergency room, and I would be in and out of hospitals and rehab for a year, learning to walk again. Learning to get up with bolts and plates in my feet that would hurt forever, bolts and plates in my wrists. I had to learn to write again. And one of the cards that I would get, of the many cards, Arthur would send me a card. He said, Sister, don't worry, you'll walk again. Just lean on the heart of Jesus, and you will walk again. And that's what I did. I leaned on the heart of Jesus that I found in all the people that would help me get up again, because we don't live life alone. We'll get up again and again, we'll forgive again and again, and we'll celebrate again and again, but we'll always do it with the assistance of others. So I kept Arthur's card when he said, don't worry, you'll get up again, lean on the heart of Jesus' love.
Mm-hmm. And was that part of your inspiration for titling the ministry Heart to Heart Ministries, Jesus' Love and Jesus, the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Was that influential in that?
Yes, because people come to me, I'm a counselor, with different things that have happened in their life. And they share the things in confidence with me. Sometimes they've lost a loved one. Like early this morning, now I was up early, 4 o'clock, I'm looking at my iPad, and I see somebody has emailed me at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's a woman that I know that I've met at some of the retreats. As I look at her email, she's telling me that her dear husband is being buried today at 10 o'clock, right now while I'm on this program. She emailed me at 4 o'clock. She was probably up because she couldn't sleep because of this sorrow, and just asking, Sister, pray for me today. And I feel that I am praying for that beautiful woman. So Heart to Heart gets phone calls, emails, visits, and that's what I feel that I do. I just listen with my humble heart, with my gentle compassion, and I walk with people along the journey in life that we all have to take, through the ups and downs. And I remember many, many years ago when I was 6 years old, my father took me for a walk, and we went up a mountain range, and he said, oh, yell hello. I said, yell, hello? So I said, hello. And I heard a voice come back. I said, Dad, that girl's voice sounds like me. How could she sound like me? Said, yell again, ask her how she is. I went, how are you? And the girl yells back at me, how are you? Then he told me and explained what an echo is, that I was hearing my words back. As the years would go on, my father would change the story, and he'd always remind me about the echo. He said, you know, Ave, the echo is in your words and deeds. That's the echo of God's love. You echo God's love on earth through the words you say, the deeds you perform, and how you will treat people. And I always remember that echo is what we hear back is what we have given out.
That's a beautiful analogy. We always think of like a mirror, or I think of a mirror, like for the reflection, like what somebody sees in you, like on the outside, is also supposed to like reflect the like inside. The inside of God's beauty and goodness and your good deeds and stuff. So thank you so much for sharing about the echo.
At one of my retreats, I met a man, and Arthur had only passed away about 2 months before. And I'm talking, and I could see that the man was blind. He had an aide with him. At the end, he comes up to me and he said, oh, I had such a good time at the retreat, and my aide brought me. I said, oh, sir, it's so nice to meet you. He said, I love the story about Arthur. He said, you know, I'm a poet. I say to him, would you write a poem about Arthur? And he did. This is the poem. He called it Another King Arthur. I never met Arthur, but that is not to say I do not know him. I have never met Jesus, yet I believe I know him. I was in the chapel of a convent in the Church of Queens, where we gathered to pray and sing and listen. It was there and then where I learned of the life of Arthur. Like Jesus, Arthur carried a cross. We all do. Arthur's was in his mind. At times it betrayed, denied, and abandoned him, but it did not defeat him. Arthur's kind and humble spirit was just too strong. He faced his suffering with quiet faith and noble dignity. Arthur's loving and giving nature touched those around him. So also like Jesus, Arthur was a kind of king, lord of the realm of simple humility. Hail, Arthur, king of gratitude and grace. We could all learn from him. We should all live in such a place. And that poem is from James Palermo, who lives in Brooklyn, who was not born blind. He became blind years later, who took to poetry. So he saw Arthur through his heart. And that's why I wrote the book, so that people could read about Arthur and know him through their heart and learn that we can all be like Arthur's way. We get to choose to be Jesus' love. And then we could say thank you to one another.
That's beautiful. That poem just, you know, touches the heart. And you could, you know, you feel like you could relate to him and like what he went through. And was it recently that Arthur passed away?
I was with Arthur on Holy Saturday, the day before Easter. And I picked him up. And when I got there, he got in the car, and I said, Arthur, we'll go to church first. He smiled. We go to church, and he said, I sit in two places in church. Oh, I said, all right, where do you? He said, first we sit in the back. We sat there quietly. And I said, Arthur, why do you sit in two places? He said, well, when the priest comes back and I like his homily, I move up closer. So as we were sitting there in church, I went over to a light, and I lit a candle. When I came back, I said, Arthur, I lit that candle for you. And he smiled at me and he said, I hope half the light was for you too. So he wanted to share even the candle. Then we went outside to the prayer garden. And at the prayer garden, we were sitting quietly. I saw Arthur's shoelaces were untied. I leaned over quietly and respectfully and I tied them. As I looked up, he was smiling down at me, and he said, thank you for being Jesus' love, for tying my shoelaces. The simple act of a shoelace, he saw God's love. Then I said, Arthur, I'm going to take you to Dunkin' Donuts. And Arthur said, I was hoping you would say that. So we go to Dunkin' Donuts, and Arthur gets online, and I remind him I'll pay for it, and he orders a small cup of coffee and one bagel. The man says to Arthur, "Arthur, are you sick today?" Arthur says, I'm well. Why do you ask me that?" "Well, you always have a big cup of coffee and two bagels." "Oh," he says, "not today, because sister's paying for it." So he was being generous. We then leave, and I bring him back to where he lives. When we get out of the car, I had two bags. I said, "Arthur, one is homemade cookies." He said, "Oh, thank you, I love them, but I'll give some away." I said, "That's good, Arthur." The other bag was a homemade prayer shawl someone made. I took it out, and I put it on me to show him how to put it on. I said, "Arthur, you put it on like this, and then you cross your hands over your heart." "Oh," he says, "very nice. Where will I wear that?" I said, "Arthur, in your room or in your bed." When I got home, he called me, and he told me he was practicing wearing it. The next day was Easter, and I went to visit my family, and he said, "Have a nice time. Tell them I love them." And they would send the same message back to Arthur. He also told me he sent me an Easter card that I would get after Easter. On Easter Monday, I got the card in the morning. I was sitting down and I brought it in. When I opened it up, I went, "Oh, it said Happy Easter to a nun." He found that card somewhere. And then I opened it up and Arthur wrote in circles. I had asked him why. He said, "Because the world is round." So when I opened it up, I was turning the card and I went, "Oh, how lovely." And as I turned it, he says, "And Sister Ave, you as an OP, Order of Preachers Dominican, had been molded as Christ's love for me. Thank you." I sat there quietly holding the card thinking, "Oh, Arthur, I'm glad I'm molded as Jesus' love for you." About 2 hours later, I got the call that Arthur had died in his sleep. He died Easter evening. I asked, "Where did you find Arthur?" They said he was in bed. I said, "What did he have on?" And they said he had like a shawl wrapped around him with his hands crossed across his heart. I have to tell you, when I heard that, I had tears, not at losing Arthur, but just thinking of that shawl with Jesus' love wrapped around him, taking Arthur to his final resurrection of joy in heaven. And I can see Arthur today saying, "Lord, we have to listen to 12:40 a.m. Sister's on the radio." And the Lord saying, "Oh, Arthur, you're right. Let's listen to it." Because that was Arthur's humility and simplicity. And I hope that anybody who gets the book, they're welcome to call me. I'm happy to mail it to you. That after you read the book, you'll think about Arthur. But you'll think about your own humility, your own simplicity, the gifts that you have to share that come from heart to heart. My ministry is about your heart to God's that is in others, and God's heart back to us that is in us.
Thank you so much. That was such a beautiful story about the prayer shawl, and yes. And you're right. He's just so... I can just see him in heaven and God's blessing him, you know, at his final hour, you know. And I wanted to mention to our listeners your telephone number, and in case anyone wanted to reach out to you, Heart to Heart Ministries that we were mentioning before. And there's a lot of great work that Sister helps others with, such as Rachel Prayer Hour for women who have post-abortion syndrome, for parents who lost a child to miscarriage or illness. It's called Elizabeth Ministry, Caring Hearts, Samaritan Hearts, for victims of tragic crime or accidents, post-traumatic stress disorder, suicide, survivors of abuse, violence, domestic violence, children and adults with a disability. There's many things on here, for persons seeking healing from depression, and other mental illness. So if you feel called or would like to speak to, Sister Ave Clark, her telephone number is 718-428-2471. And also you could reach out to me as well. My text number or call number is 516-784-6081, or you could visit our website to listen-up.net, and there's our email there that you could send me an email, and we could, like Sister mentioned, if you would like a copy of the book, we could certainly get that to you. And if you have any questions, again, you could call in or text in today. Our call-in number is 631-888-8811. So, thank you so much, Sister.
Thank you.
I wanted to actually ask Pat, who's also here today. I know that you invited Sister many times to come and speak at the Light of Christ Prayer Group, and that you're the leader of the Light of Christ Prayer Group. And we were mentioning in the car as we were driving here that you've been a leader for many years and that God has blessed you with that ministry. And can you just tell us a little bit about the ministry again, what the Light of Christ Prayer Group is, what you do, and maybe if you can mention a story about one of Sister's talks that really touched you.
Okay, well, we have Sister Ave Clark twice a year. We're blessed to have her. We usually have her in the fall and in the spring. And every time she comes, I know I'm filled with emotion and I'm filled with challenge because she's very unselfish, and her whole life she reaches out to people and she doesn't let fear get in her way. Like most of us, you know, we see somebody that's not right, we get fearful and we back away. Sister Ave is drawn to that person, you know, and that's such a blessing. And I challenge myself all the time to be more like her, to try to be more like her. And she's had so much in her life that I'm not saying you're not normal, but an average human being would try to protect themselves. Getting hit by a train, you know, they would say, I'm not going out, I'm not driving. She'll come to prayer group at night and drive, and I worry about her. But she doesn't let fear stop her from doing anything. And abuse in her life, you know, to protect herself against people, she doesn't do that. She still goes out and she trusts people, and that blows me away. I mean, every time she comes to our prayer group, I have like a lump in my throat. I'm so filled with the love that she has, and I want to be filled with that love, but part of my life, you know, I'm afraid. I'm fearful, and I draw the line with people sometimes, but she doesn't do that. So I want to be more like her. I'm honored. I'm blessed to know her. And she is coming November 20th to the Light of Christ Prayer Group. And I forgot your topic. What is your topic? It's about love.
Gratitude is love.
Gratitude is love. So she is coming November 20th, 7:30 in the chapel of the Siena Center. So you're all welcome to come and listen to her. I could sit and listen to her for hours and hours and hours and not get bored. She just fills my heart with love. It's like God's love just flows through her. Sitting next to her, I feel God's love. Even at prayer group here, I always do. And she, you know, she's not a head person, she's a heart person. And out in this world, everybody's a head person. They're thinking things out, they're analyzing things. Sister Ave doesn't do that. She's motivated from her heart. And that's so beautiful. Now, our Light of Christ prayer group, we meet every Monday night, 7:30 in the chapel of the Siena Center. Why do we meet? Why? Because we need God. God is everything. God, we go through different struggles in our life, and we need God. And we meet, we have song, praise, we praise God. We have a time of testimony where people will say how God is working in their life, and they'll touch other people. Other people will say, wow, she went through that. I think I could get through it too. So we help motivate each other. And it's like spiritual vitamins. You know, we need to hear everybody's testimony. That helps us. We read scripture, and sometimes we have a speaker, and it's all about prayer. The root of the prayer group is prayer, praying for one another, praying for those who need to be prayed with. We have prayovers after the meeting for all who needs it, or after the 9:30 Mass on Sundays. We have a prayer team that you can come up and pray for whatever you need. You know, God is always there, but we forget that. And the prayer helps to remind us of God's love. And we feel God's love during the prayer. Yeah. So
thank you so much. Prayer is so important. And again, it's every Monday night at 7:30 at St. Catherine of Siena Church is the Light of Christ prayer group meeting. And I just found out that we have a caller that called in. So right now we'll take the call. Her name is Celeste. And let's see. I'm so excited. Hi, good morning.
Yes, hi, good morning, sister. This is Celeste Grillo. How are you?
Oh, good. Just one moment. Let me give sister the headphones so that she can listen.
Oh, thank you very much.
Can you hear, sister?
Is it good? Yes, hi, sister. Celeste.
Hello, Celeste.
Hi, how are you, sister? I wanted to thank you so much for writing the book about Arthur. And on behalf of St. Jude's Parish, and I was his sponsor in our CIA program in the process of him becoming a Catholic. So you captured his essence so beautifully and his spirit. So I wanted to thank you for that very, very much, sister. Thank you.
Oh, Celeste, thank you so much for calling in. And
You're welcome.
This is the lady who walked by Arthur's side. She was his sponsor, and he called you an angel, Celeste, angel of love.
Thanks. Now, he was really an angel to me because we became good friends here in the parish, and he was just so loyal and dedicated, coming to different groups and prayer services and to the RCIA process. He added so much joy to our time together. So it was really my honor to know him, and I certainly learned so much from him that will really remain in my heart forever.
Thank you, Celeste. God bless you. You're welcome.
You're welcome. We're enjoying your program, and we'll see you soon again at St. Jude's and the other parishes. Thank you so much, sister, and for everyone at the radio station for having this opportunity for everyone to hear this beautiful message.
Thank you.
Have a blessed day now. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye.
Wow, that was beautiful. That was an angel right there calling in and telling us.
This is a parish, St. Jude's in Brooklyn. It's multicultural. And Arthur somehow found this parish, and they welcomed him. And he was in the RCA program, the Holy Name, the Nocturnal Society. And when they would put up to sit with the Eucharist overnight, Arthur would stay all night. He would make sure that every hour was taken care of. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't even sleep. And they would always see this gentle man sitting in church quietly. But this is a very blessed church. And I always say, you know, some churches have tall steeples and beautiful carved stone. And it's a simple church. But what they have is the welcome of Christ in their hearts. And Arthur felt right at home there. And as Celeste calling in is saying, he blessed them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. I feel that, you know, he's still here with us. And I never, I didn't meet him in person, but just this beautiful conversation, I feel that. You know, he's right here with us.
I feel like I know him also.
Yeah.
Many years ago, I taught special ed. My special class, there were students with special needs. And after a few weeks teaching there, I thought to myself going home, you know, I am a student. I am learning from these special students. And I remember one day one boy came up to my desk. He said, Sister Ave, I'm mad at God. I went, oh, gee, we just had a religion lesson. You shouldn't be mad at God. So I said, why are you mad at God? He said, because he didn't put much in my head. And I felt like sad. And I always kept a heart in my desk. So I took the big red heart out. I said, now you listen here. God gave you a very big heart. You're one of the most loving people I ever met. And the boy says, really? I said, yes. He said, you know what? I'm not mad at God anymore. He gave me a loving heart. And I had a poster in my room that said, label jars, not people. And whenever they would start to feel a little sad about themselves, I would point to that poster. We would all read it and clap. And I would tell Arthur about that poster that said, label jars, not people. And Arthur said, if I were in your class, I would have clapped too. And that's what we need to do in life. Mm-hmm. Labels are on jars and boxes and trucks. Let's not label one another. Mm-hmm. We're all created in the image and likeness of God. And as we get to know each other, we're a variety, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're like the many flowers, many vegetables, many different colors and talents, but we are all created in the image of God.
Yeah, we're all God's children, and you know, all together as one. And I was just thinking, let's go back a little bit to your story about the train accident. And as you were saying, the story is really incredible. How you said it was a year in rehabilitation, and they put bolts inside of you, and you mentioned that you're in pain. And how has your I know you went through moments of darkness with that, and you know, the pain and the suffering. And can you just discuss with us a little bit about your faith journey and how that whole process and you know what?
You know, whenever I see a person in a wheelchair, they're walking in a different way. I see a blind person and I know they're seeing in a different way. And sometimes in life we take things for granted. You know, we could run up and down stairs, we can see everything. I'm hearing impaired, people hear more clearly than I do. And I guess I always expected I'd be running up and down the stairs. And people in my community know that I love to dance. Oh, when I hear music, I can't stop dancing. But it hurts a lot to dance now. And I know that you could dance in your spirit. And I realized one day when the doctor came into my room, he said, he didn't say to me, "Sister, do you want to walk again?" That's what I would have expected. He said, "Sister, do you believe you will walk again?" And I wanted to be very brave, and I wanted to scream real loud, "Yes!" But I was so weak, my yes sounded like this, "Yes!" And I couldn't believe how weak it was. And he says, "Fantastic!" And the doctor's smiling. And then he says it again. He says, "Do you believe you will walk again?" And then he adds, "With pain." In other words, he was giving me the message, "You will walk, sister, but it will hurt." This time I took a deep breath and I said, "I want my yes to sound better." I went, "Yes." And again he said, "Fantastic." And I realized that it's not going to be that I will walk perfect anymore. I don't. I walk with a gait and a limp and it hurts at different times. I use a cane. But it will be that I will get up. It will not be perfect, and that's all right. We don't have to be perfect. And there are many people in life that get up and walk, and they have different issues in life. And they know that those issues sometimes hold them back from doing it 100%. But they give their all. So it isn't that you have to be perfect. I don't have to be perfect. So I prayed about it. And I believe, like Arthur said, lean on the heart of Jesus, love in others. Others would support me and say, "You can do it." I could drive across the United States. That doesn't bother me. I go to walk maybe, and I used to love to walk 30 blocks a day. Now I walk 10. And I told you in the car, I have a little dog named Sunshine Yorkie Clark. He has the same last name as I do. And he's
Mr. Sunshine.
Yorkie, 8.5 pounds. One day, I'm walking along with him. I see a man from a distance, and the man's saying hello to everybody, and I love to do that. Some people don't say hello back, or they're busy texting, and they don't see him. I said, "Oh, good, the man's going to say hello." As we got closer, the man and I looked at each other. We both said, "Good morning, good morning." He looked at the doggie, and then the man yells at me. He says, "Stop, talk to me," which I did. Then the man put his hands together and raised them to heaven and looked sad. And he told me his wife of 69 years had passed away 3 months before. The man was out walking. He was out walking with his sadness. I stopped. Then he told me, "Pick up your doggie and let's pray 3 Hail Marys together." Now, thank God the doggie only weighed 8 pounds. I pick up the doggie. We say 3 Hail Marys. I put the doggie down and we smile like we're going to say goodbye. And the man says to me, "Thank you, Sister Ave. Thank you, Sunshine." I look at the man and I say, "How did you know my name and my doggie's name?" He said, "Well, I go to a delicatessen." And the man said, "Jimmy, you're getting very depressed. You need help." I said, what kind of help do I need? He said, go on out and take a walk and you'll meet Sister Ave. She'll help you. He said, well, how will I know who Sister Ave is? He said, well, she walks crooked and so does her dog. And the dog was in a puppy mill and he's also lame. When he goes to the left, I go to the right. So the man saw me walking crooked and limping and the man stopped. So it doesn't matter if I walk crooked or I limp. We can still help people. It doesn't matter if you suffer from depression, PTSD, or you have some loss in life. We all can be for one another. We're not going to be perfect, are we? But we can have a beautiful heart. And that's all people really want, is a beautiful heart to be shared.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I'm just thinking, my co-host Barbara Campbell, she tells me, and she reminds me that sometimes we have to sacrifice the perfect for the good. And we always want to be perfect, or, you know, we try to be perfect with everything, but we have to sacrifice that and just know that we can just be good, or just, you know, that and just be what in that direction, try our best with God's grace. But
Could I read that poem to you about Arthur?
Sure.
Because I think it says a lot about what you just spoke about we don't have to be perfect, just good. It's called A Beautiful Soul. A stained, wrinkled plaid shirt, shoelaces untied, buttons button wrong, no socks on in the winter, you are a beautiful soul. You give away a new shirt to someone in need. You give thanks for your new shoes, which you said felt heavenly to walk in. You smile at your buttons button wrong. You accept your limitations with such grace. You were in a hurry to get to the retreat and forgot to put your socks on. You are a beautiful soul. The pastor made the coffee for the retreat. Someone said it was way too strong. Arthur smiled and said, I'll put more milk in the pastor's good coffee. Like Jesus, Arthur, you lived and shared the way of goodness. You are a beautiful soul. So I'm grateful for Arthur for teaching me you don't have to be perfect. You just have to share goodness. That's the best gift we could give one another here on this earth, to be goodness and share it.
Yes, amen. And did you write that poem, sister?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. I wanted to ask Pat, I know she has a little doggy too. You were mentioning about Mr. Sunshine, and as we were driving in the car today, you were telling us a little bit about Gracie, your dog, and can you just share with us a little bit how you feel God's goodness working through your pet, and just, you know, your experience with her and how she's been a blessing in your life and your family and...
Okay, Gracie is definitely a blessing. Actually, I call her my daughter. I know a lot of people, they're against that. They say she's a dog, but I correct them and I say, no, that's my daughter. I love her. Like, she is my child. People don't realize that pets are brought into our life as a blessing. They're in our life so we could learn from them. People do not realize that, and that's why when I see abuse, it breaks my heart. I'm against all kind of animal abuse, and I'm against the animal kill shelters and these puppy mills. I'm totally against all of it because they're a blessing that we need to respect and we need to love as they teach us to love, unconditional love. We could be mean to them, and when we come home, they wag their tail. They look at us with eyes of love, the eyes of Jesus. That's what I see in Gracie. I see God looking at me and loving me through this dog. Well, you want to call her a dog, but she's my daughter. But that's how I see her. They teach us simplicity. Just go for a walk together. That means a lot. In this life, we make everything complicated. We want everything just right. But with them, they just take what they have and they make the best of it. And that's what God really wants us to do. I mean, just spending time with her, brushing her, walking her, seeing her wait for me when I walk in the door, it just lights my heart up. You know, I see the eyes of Jesus through Gracie, and they teach us about simple things, not to make life so complicated. A walk, sitting on the stoop, a ride in the car, that means so much to them. And they teach us how to love, that we need to love and we need to accept. They accept us. They don't have any conditions for us, but we have conditions on every part of our life, people in our life. But they teach us to try to let go of the conditions, to love unconditionally. So she's my joy. She's my joy. I can't say enough about her. And I wish all the people out there, if you have pets, learn from these pets. We only have them for a certain amount of time. It's never long enough. And when they die, they take a piece of us with them. But learn from your pet. Love your pet. And learn that God loves you so much. Look it through the eyes of your pet. You're loved unconditionally by God. We don't realize that. We think we have to be a certain way for God to love us. God loves us just the way we are. And the pets teach us that.
So my next book, which I'm working on, you'll see Gracie and Sunshine in it, is going to be Holy Paws, Four Paws, Holy Four Paws for Peace, P-A-W-S. And they do, as Pat said, they teach us a lot about life. And my little dog, when I got him, a friend got him for me when I had the accident. And somebody said, oh, my God, how will you take care of him? Well, that dog and I took care of each other. And he was only 3 months old when I got him. He was already limping from being in a puppy mill. He had been kicked. So he does limp himself. He can't jump up or down. I pick him up or down. But he's brought a lot of joy to people. At my prayer group yesterday, they won't see him on Halloween, so I put on his little costume. He was dressed like a chef with his little hat on, and one man was looking at him. He said, you know, that little dog just served us joy. Aww. So it is very true, Pat, what you said. Little creatures, great and small, praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's so true. And what other things will you mention in the book that you'll be writing? I know you said it's a pause for peace. So just how we could become more peaceful through God's creation, right?
Because when we pause, we humans, P-A-U-S-E, when we take that pause for peace, we might not say the word that would hurt someone else. We might think of a new way of forgiving somebody. We might see joy where maybe there's something negative. We might say, I won't give harshness back for what harshness has done to me. And we might take that sacred pause and realize that every day, put a little extra more of God's love in your heart, and you'll find out that there will be a ripple effect of that sacred pause that you have. It's like when we breathe in air and oxygen, you breathe in more than that. You breathe in God's love. And then when we breathe out, get a chance to breathe out God's love with a good deed, a kind word, or maybe to somebody who's lost, like my friend this morning, lost a loved one, and she emailed me so early in the morning. I guess she was saying, I just want you to know, please care about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was beautiful that she reached out to you and gave you that opportunity to pray for her, and you took that moment to think of what she must be going through. And I think in life, you know, it's really important to take that second that God will give us to grace, that grace, instead of getting angry right away or getting offended, maybe, you know, to take that second and just to give out love, even though it might be very difficult and someone might have just said something really hurtful to you. But like you said, to forgive and take that second is really important.
And sometimes I'll be at a Douglaston that's in Queens at the Immaculate Conception Center giving a bereavement morning from 10 o'clock to 1 on November the 11th. And people are most welcome to come to it. And it's for people who have lost someone. And the man said to me, oh, what is the name of your talk? And right away I said, The Garment of Compassion. And anybody who has lost someone, they don't want a whole lot of words said to them. They want to feel compassion. They want to feel that sense of comfort in their loss. They want to get that sense that somebody else cares. And very often, they're not looking for a whole lot of words. They're just looking for that quiet prayer and a sense of peace that we can give to people and share with them.
Mm-hmm. And at the talk, do you mention like some Bible scriptures, or do you pray with the people?
I love Romans 8.
Romans 8, okay.
Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. We might think it will, but nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, that God's love is always there, and we can stir it for ourselves, or we could stir it with someone else. I myself have post-traumatic stress disorder known as PTSD. People who have gotten it from being in the war, they've gotten it from terrible accidents, and they've also gotten it from being abused or violated in life. And sometimes it leaves different after effects that you have in life. You might have it forever like I do, but you learn to live with it more peacefully. And we learn to like reach out to one another with caring, with a caring word, or maybe just a little hug, or maybe that gaze of Jesus' love.
Mm-hmm. And what advice or what recommendations would you give for someone who might be going through post-traumatic stress like you have? What would you recommend to them?
I would say, talk to somebody who understands about it. You know, you get your necessary healing that you need, and then do what you need to do to live with it as best as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you need to do, you do those necessary things you need to do, and be brave. And someone told me a long time ago, because I found when I was told that I was brave, I didn't feel that way. And I remember the person said to me, "You are valiant." And when you are valiant, it means that you believe that you will get up again. And we have those little resurrection moments in our life every day. And rejoice with them yourself, and then rejoice with somebody else who's having them also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. It's like our testimonies, we remember like how, like where we were and what has happened to us, and like where God has brought us, and like all the people in our life that he's brought mm-hmm. into our path, and you know, to be valiant, like you said. And
I had a sister in high school. I loved her. And she used to drop books in the class. And sometimes some of the girls would laugh. You know, we were 16-year-old girls. And one day she looked at us and she said, "Oh, sorry, I keep doing that, girls." And we all looked at her kinder when she said that. About 3 weeks later, she didn't come in anymore. And the principal came and said, "Sister won't be returning. She has MS. And it is going rapidly through her." I would visit her throughout the years, and she would almost lose her hearing, almost lose being able to talk, lose her eyesight, but she never lost that beautiful heart. And at the foot of her bed, she had made a sign, "Be better, not bitter." It's easy to be bitter. When something happens in life, we want to blame everybody or say, "Why is this happening? I'm not going to try anymore." And I remember that sign saying, "Be better." So we can all be better.
Yes. Yeah, that's such a great reminder as we wrap up the show today. I want to thank you again for listening. And thank you, Sister and Pat. And have
thank
a great
weekend.
Thank
you for
weekend.
Having us. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank
we'll
you. See. It was a blessing to be here.
We'll see you next time. Yes.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on